Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 13th of November, 2017. We're in the book of 1 Chronicles, beginning today at chapter 17. We worked our way gradually through the Old Testament, and when 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles are done, that will finish up the Old Testament. Now, we will be going into the apocryphal books, Jubilees, Book of Enoch, Book of Yashar, things like that, plus the Apocrypha as it is in the copy that I have. We'll get into that, and then after that, in 2018, we will go into the New Covenant, or Testament, if you must. And then, who knows? That'll be the end of that. We will see what we will see. You can listen or download all of the files of both Word for Word and Wake Up Call. Wake Up Call will not end. I will continue to do my sermons. But you can go to https://www.pastor-steve.com, and all of my stuff is there, and very user-friendly site. There's no comments or any opportunity for trolls or whatever to play. It's just a Bible site. You can download and read or whatever, whatever you want to do there, except there's no comment page. I didn't enable that. I don't want that. It's not a place to play. It's a place to study. And, I know. Sour old man. I'm not. I've just seen too much nonsense going on really good websites. And I didn't want it going on mine. I've put a lot of effort into it. Brother Hebert has provided that for me. And it's a study site. It really is. And I won't be finished before the end of 2018. I guarantee that, because there's just too much material to cover yet. But anyway, I'm continuing to recover from my little heart incident. I'm feeling good. EFR has had some changes, and we're working on it to make it better and better and better. So let's get into chapter 17. I'm drinking a little bit of coffee and taking a few morning herbs. I don't do big pharma, folks, and my health has snapped back due to the herbal, if you want to call them medications, no, they're just supplements, plus common sense on my part, where I was just overdriving myself. I've slowed down, and I'm eating a lot better, and lost a lot of weight. Didn't take care of my temple. My fault. Okay, but Yahweh has preserved me to fight this fight. And we're in a battle, folks. We're in a battle against the evil one. Everybody that is a true Christian must participate. You can't just sit on the sidelines, because he's not going to let you. Chapter 17 of the book of 1 Chronicles, verse 1. Now it came to pass, as Dawid sat in his house, that Dawid said to Nathan the prophet, "Lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of Yahweh under curtains." He was speaking of the tent of meeting. Then Nathan said unto Dawid, "Do all that is in your heart, for Elohim is with you." Verse 3. And it came to pass the same night that the word of Elohim came to Nathan, saying, and you can reference 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 4 on that. Here's verse 4 here. "Go and say to Dawid my servant, thus saith Yahweh, you shall not build me a house to dwell in." All right. Now the notes here said Yahweh didn't let David build the house because he was a man of warfare. And that references 1 Chronicles 22:8 and 28:3. Also, Dawid was the anointed of Yahweh, and if he built the house, it might have lasted forever. Who knows? But for whatever reason, Yahweh said, "You shall not build me a house to dwell in." Verse 5. "For I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel," that's out of Egypt, "unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent, and from one tabernacle," and it has to another in parentheses here. Verse 6, you can reference 2 Samuel 7, verse 7. "Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spoke I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedars?" Verse 7. "Now therefore thus shall you say unto my servant Dawid, thus says Yahweh of hosts, I took you from the pasture, even from following the sheep, that you should be ruler over my people Israel." And you can reference 2 Samuel 7, verse 8 on that. Verse 8, "And I have been with you wherever you have walked, and have cut off all your hated enemies from before you, and have made you a name like the name of the great men that are in the land. Boy, did he do that. David was famous. We get another little herbal supplement and some coffee. This is early in the morning. I don't sleep as much anymore because of all the renewed energy. So I'm up and I'm going to record and take my little things and listen to EFR when I'm done. And oh, it's nice. Nice. Verse 9. Also, I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be disturbed no more. Well, neither shall the children of wickedness waste them away anymore, as in the beginning. Verse 10. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, continuing verse 10, moreover, I will subdue all your hated enemies. Furthermore, I tell you that Yahweh will build you a house. Verse 11, and it shall come to pass when your days be fulfilled that you must go with your fathers, your forefathers, that I will raise up your descendant after you, which shall be of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. That would be Shlomo. Verse 12, he shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne. And it says forever here, for a very long time. That's what it means. Verse 13, and you can reference 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18, and Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my loving kindness away from him, as I took it from that which was before you. That would be Shaul. Verse 14, but I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established until everlasting. Okay? Like it said that before, I will establish his throne until everlasting. 5704 and 5769. Verse 15, according to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Natan speak unto Dawid. He was letting him know that he's going to be the ruler for a long time, and then his son would be the ruler. I have a hot cup here that keeps my coffee nice and hot. I need that in the morning. I'm still a coffee hound, and a little bit of coffee here and there isn't going to hurt me. This is verse 16, and this is all about David's prayer of appreciation. And Dawid the king came and sat before Yahweh and said, who am I, O Yahweh Elohim, and what is my house that you have brought me as far as here? And you can reference 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18 on that one. Verse 17, and this was a small thing in your eyes, O Elohim, For you have spoken of your servant's house from afar, and have regarded me according to the, and right here is 8448. It would be manner. You have regarded me according to the manner of an Adam. 120. Of ascent. 4609. Now the King James has high degree. And that's very iffy, okay? A man of ascent, O Yahweh Elohim. Four, six, oh, 9 is Ma'alah. That means one lifted up, or the ascent, you know, going up. Verse 18. What can Dawud add more to you for the honor of your servant? For you know your servant. Verse 19. O Yahweh, for your servant's sake, and according to your own heart, have you done all this greatness in making known all great things? Verse 20. O Yahweh, none like you, neither Elohim except you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Now, they had added words in the King James which were unnecessary. And they added a lot of stuff in here. A lot of the stuff in italics. Verse 21. And what one nation in the land is like your people Israel, whom Elohim went to redeem as his own people, to make you a name of greatness and awesomeness, by driving out nations from before your people, whom you have redeemed from Egypt. Verse 22. For your people Israel did you make your own people until everlasting. And you, Yahweh, became their Elohim. Therefore now, this is verse 23. Therefore now, Yahweh, let the thing that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house be established until everlasting, and do as you have said. Verse 24. Let it be established, or be true, okay, 539, that your name may be magnified until everlasting, saying, Yahweh of hosts is the Elohim of Israel, an Elohim to Israel. And let the house of Dawud thy servant be established before you. Verse 25. For you, O my Elohim, hast uncovered the ear of your servant, that you will build him a house. Therefore thy servant has found to pray before you. Verse 26, and now, Yahweh, you art Elohim and have promised this goodness unto your servant. Verse 27, now therefore let it please you to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before you forever. For you bless, O Yahweh, and it shall be blessed forever. Wow, what a prayer. Heartfelt, right from the heart. I mean, he was a shepherd boy. Shepherd. He wasn't anything. He was just a shepherd in Israel. Yahweh chose him. His glory is Yahweh's glory. Everybody's glory, if they have any glory at all, is provided by Yahweh. My life is Yahweh's life. He could have taken me home with this heart thing. Very, very well could have just, I'd be gone. But no. No, that was not Yahweh's will. Yahweh healed me. I'm testifying right now from personal experience. Listen to me, folks. I'd gotten big and fat, and I got over, did all of this stuff and clogged everything up, and Yahweh has healed me. Because there's a warrior inside me that's in Yahweh's army. Right now, I'm a prayer warrior. I don't know what he's got planned for me for the future, but I have to fight against the evil one and his minions. And boy, does he have... he's got some minions out there. Antifa and all these whatever. Race mixers and false pastors. And liars and politicians and Jews all over the place. Ah, come on. You don't think we're in a battle right now? Oh, please, folks, wake up. We're right in, we're in the trib right now, all these killings and all that stuff. Give me a break. You know, wake up and look around you. You may be making money at your job, and you may be doing this, you may be doing that. But it's so close to coming to an end. What are you going to do when things fall apart? What are you going to do? No more money. Well, we have to close the business right now because of all the violence, and the trucking company can't bring in our supplies. So you're all laid off. Mm-hmm. And you're 45 years of age or 50. And you're going to go out and get another job? They got all the people to mop floors that they need, folks. What are you going to do when the unemployment runs out? Well, if you don't trust in Yahweh, you're hit. That's all I can say. You know? When there's rioting in the street and you can't go outside your house and you're barricaded in, you're trying to survive, wait on Yahweh. You got to pray. You're going to have to submit to Yahweh's will or perish. Well, now we're into chapter 18 of 1 Chronicles. And let's start here. It's all about Dawood's military stuff. Now, after this, it came to pass that Dawood smote the Pelishtim and subdued them. That's the Philistines, okay? And took Gath and her towns out of the hands of the Pelishtim. And he smote Moab, and Moab became Dawud's servants and brought gifts to buy him off. Please don't kill all of us. Verse 3, and Dawud smote Hadarezer, king of Sobah, unto Kamatha, as he went to establish his hand, that's his power, by the river Perath. That is the Euphrates River, but the actual name of it is the river Perath. Verse 4, and Dawud captured from him 1,000 chariots. Pardon me, just a little cough. And 7,000 horsemen and 20,000 footmen. Dawud also hamstrung all the chariot horses, but left over of them 100 chariots. Because if you hamstrung all the horses, they cut the tendon, the hamstring, the horses were crippled and they had to kill them. Verse 5, and when the Aram of Damascus, all right, that would be the Syrians of Damascus, and when the Aram or Arami of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, Dawud slew of Aram 22,000 men. 22,000 men. That's a lot of people. Verse 6. Then Dawud put, and they have garrisons here in parentheses, or in italics, pardon me. Then Dawud put in Aram of Damascus, and Aram became Dawud's servants and brought gifts. Thus Yahweh preserved Dawud wherever he went. Verse 7. And Dawud took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. And here's verse 8, and you can reference 1 Kings chapter 7, verses 40 through 47, and 2 Chronicles 4, verses 11 through 18. In 1 Chronicles 22, verses 2 through 5 and 14 through 16, all this stuff, these gold shields were for the temple. And it lists all the stuff that was accumulated for Shlomo's temple. Verse 8, likewise from Tibchath and from Kun, cities of Hadadezer, brought Dawud, I have to flip a page here, very much bronze, not brass, bronze, with which Shlomo made the bronze sea and the pillars and the vessels of bronze. His son would make other things. Ow, boy, that hurts. Verses 9 and 10 here, you can reference 2 Samuel, chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9, now when Tou, king of Hamath, heard how Dawud had smitten all the host of Hadadezer, king of Zobah, verse 10, he sent Hadoram, his son, to King Dawud, to ask of him peace and to bless him because he had fought against Hadad-Ezer, smitten him, for Hadad-Ezer was at war with the men of Tou. And all manners of vessels of gold and silver and bronze. Boy, he sent his son and all of that stuff. Verse 11. Them also King Dawud dedicated unto Yahweh. In other words, they were going to the temple with the silver and the gold that he brought from all these nations, from Edom and from Moab, and from the children of Ammon, and from the Pelishtim, and from Amalek, all enemies of Israel. Verse 12, and this is Psalm 60 title. Okay, this is in the title. Moreover, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, slew of Edom in the Valley of Salt 18,000. Verse 13. And he put garrisons in Edom, and all Edom became Dawud's servants. Thus Yahweh preserved Dawud wherever he went. Now, Edom would get back and get revenge. You can see what the Edomites are doing today to us. Okay, because Israel went into apostasy later, and this is Yahweh's punishment on us. And it continues. We continued in apostasy, except for those in Christian identity that don't do all the Judeo-Christian claptrap. Okay? But it's all going to come to a head. It's coming to a head quickly with all the stuff that's going on. Verse 14, so Dawud reigned over all Israel and executed judgment and justice among all his people. 15, and Joab the son of Zeruiah was over the army, and Jehoshaphat the son of Ahilud recorder. Okay, he kept all the records. Verse 16, and Zadok the son of Ahitub and Abimelech the son of Ebiathar were the priests, and Shoesha was the scribe. Verse 17, and Benaiahu, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Kerethi. Now those were David's guards, okay? And the Pelethi, and the sons of Dawud were chief by the side of the king. He had a bunch of sons. That ends chapter 18. Now we're going to get into 19 here. It's not all that long. Now this is about the Ammonites and the Arami. And you can reference 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. Verse 1 of chapter 19. Now it came to pass after this that Nachash, the king of the children of Ammon, died, and his son reigned in his stead. Okay, his son took over. And Dawud said, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nachash, because his father showed kindness to me. And Dawud sent messengers to comfort him concerning his father. So the servants of Dawud came into the land of the children of Ammon to Hanun to comfort him. Verse 3, but the officers of the children of Ammon said to Hanun, does honor Dawud your father? Does Dawud honor in your eyes, pardon me, your father, because he has sent comforters to you? Are not his servants come unto you to search and overthrow and to spy out the land? So they whispered nasties in his ear. Verse 4, you can reference 2 Samuel 10, verse 4. Wherefore Hanun took Dawood's servants and shaved them and cut off their garments in the midst, hard by their buttocks, like little skirts, and sent them away, shaved off their beards. Oh, man, that was an insult. Verse 5, then there went and told Dawood how the men were served. In other words, they were abused. And he sent to meet them, for the men were greatly ashamed. And the king says, tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return. Because they didn't want to show up in Israel with no beards. The same way I got upset because they had to shave my beard off when they did this operation on me, because any chance of infection, they couldn't have any hair near that. Oh, and I grieved because I am an Israelite and I wear a beard. But it's pretty much, it's back. I'm not ashamed to be seen in public. It's out, and I'm even trimming it. Verse 6, and when the children of Ammon saw that they stunk, that's 8:8:7, it says made themselves odious, in the King James. Doesn't mean that. It means they stunk. That they stunk to Dawood, Hanun and the children of Ammon sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire them chariots and horsemen out of Aram Naharaim and out of Aram Maakah and out of Zobah. So they hired 32,000 chariots, and the king of Maakah and his people who came and camped before Medeba. And the children of Ammon gathered themselves together from their cities and came to battle. And when Dawood heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army of the mighty men. Now, there's a little question about this King Nachash. We don't know whether it's the same King Nachash who had fought Shaul, or it might, in 1 Samuel 11, chapter 11, verses 1 through 15, it may have been a son who had the same name. We don't know. Verse 9. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array before the entrance of the city, and the kings that were come by themselves in the field. Okay? Joab is coming in on them. Verse 10. Now when Joab saw that it appeared that the battle was set against him before and behind, he chose from all the choice of Israel and put them in array to meet Aram. Verse 11. And the rest of the people he gave into the hand of Abishai, his brother, and they set themselves in array to meet the children of Ammon. Verse 12. And he said, If Aram is too strong for me, then you shall be of help to me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for you, then I will help you. So they were going to work together. Verse 13, be of good courage and let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for the cities of our Elohim. And let Yahweh do good in his sight, or that which is good in his sight. They've got that in there in italics. Verse 14, so Joab and the people that were with him drew near before Aram unto the battle, and they fled before him. Verse 15, and when the children of Ammon saw that Aram had fled, they likewise fled before Abishai, his brother, and entered into the city. Then Joab came to Jerusalem. Verse 16, and when Aram saw that they were smitten before Israel, they sent messengers and drew forth Aram that were beyond the river, and Shophach, the commander of the army of Hadarezer, went before them. Verse 17, it was told Dawid, and he gathered all Israel and passed over Jordan, that's the Jordan River, and came upon them and set in array against them. So when Dawid had put the battle in array to meet Aram, they fought with him. Verse 18, but Aram fled before Israel, and David slew of Aram 7,000 in chariots and 40,000 footmen, and killed Shophach, the commander of the army. Oh boy. Verse 19. And when the servants of Hadadezer saw that they were smitten before Israel, then they made peace with Dawid and became his servants. Neither would Aram help the children of Ammon anymore. Well, chapter 20 is a short little chapter, and I'm just going to hammer it. This is another victory over the Ammonites, and you can reference 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that after spring returned, the year returned, in other words, spring, at the time that kings go out to battle, Joab led forth the power of the army and destroyed the country of the children of Ammon, and came and besieged Rabbah. But Dawid tarried at Jerusalem. He let his commanders go out and fight. And Joab smote Rabbah and destroyed it. Verse 2. And Dawid took the crown of their king from off his head and found it to weigh a talent of gold. And precious stones were in it. And it was set upon Dawid's head, and he brought exceeding much spoil from the city. Verse 3, and you can reference 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 31. And he brought out the people who were in it, and made them saw with saws and with threshing sledges of iron and with axes. Even so dealt Dawid with all the cities of the children of Ammon, and all the people returned to Jerusalem. That's 2 Samuel 12:31. He didn't mutilate the Ammonites. He didn't chop them up and saw them with saws. He made them work. He put them to forced labor. That's what he did here. So the misunderstanding about passage 3 here is cleared up. Verse 4, and it came to pass after this that there arose war at Gezer with the Pelishti, that's the Philistines, at which time Sibekai the Cushathi slew Sipai, that was of those born of the giant. They were Rephaim, and they were subdued. And verse 5, 1 Samuel 17, verses 4 through 7, that's a reference. And there was war again with the Pelishti, and Elchanan, the son of Yair, or Yaur, slew Lachmi, the brother of Goliath, the Gitti. Remember Goliath? Goliath? Whose spear staff was like a weaver's beam. He was the brother of the giant Goliath that David had slain as a boy. Verse 6, and yet again there was war at Gath, where there was a man of stature, whose fingers and toes were 24, 6 on each hand, and 6 on each foot. He was a mutant. And he was also begotten of the Rapha, that's the giant. Rephaim. They were to be killed. Verse 7, but when he taunted Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother, slew him. These were born unto the Rapha in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. All right, that's 17 through 20 today. 21 is too long to do today. I don't have the time. But you can see that David is truly establishing himself with all this war business. He's basically cleaning up the area of all his hereditary enemies, the Philistines and the like. Anybody that basically was not of Israel that was opposing him, he basically put the hammer on. We can see that the hereditary enemies of Israel are gathering against us today. That's pretty clear. We're going to have to deal with them. Now, if we're going to deal with them, it's got to be under the leadership of Yeshua. We know we're going to have to fight, okay? We cannot take it upon ourselves and be presumptuous. Israel has done that in the past. We've made mistakes. We need to wait on Yahweh. Okay, we can prepare. I'm not saying we shouldn't prepare. Had to cough again. Preparation is fine. But the actual battle, we may have some skirmishes in self-defense. We're not supposed to not defend ourselves. But the big one has to be under the direction of Yeshua. We've got to have patience can't jump the gun with all that is arrayed against us. It's pretty overwhelming, you know, with drones and, you know, battle drones with machine guns and bombs and rockets, and they would bring troops against us and all of that, but the victory will come overwhelmingly when Yahshua returns. We're going to have to go through this tribulation. Folks, we're not going to get out of it. I mean, the scripture tells us that this is going to come, and we're going to have trouble, and we're going to suffer, and we're going to be continually hammered by these wicked people. It's just going to have to happen to separate the wheat from the chaff. We're going to see who falls out and who loses faith, who knuckles under and takes the mark. We're going to see all of this. We have sinned in the past, and when they founded this Christian nation, now this nation is in apostasy. We're continuing to sin. Over in Europe, our people are going along with all this sex stuff, and Israel's being punished for our apostasy. I was not raised in the truth. I was raised in a United Methodist or Presbyterian church. I didn't know whether they had their little pablum sermon each Sunday, oh, this and that and all that stuff. I wasn't a Christian. I didn't believe any of it. I saw the hypocrisy and the lies as a child. How many others have seen this? And I drifted in and out. I was part of the world. Just doing whatever, you know. It took me a while, folks. It took me a while, but I made it. I woke up and I saw. So, how many others in the same boat that I was in? Okay, I have to cut our people some slack. I'm sorry, I must. I exhort them to righteousness, but they're going to have to make that choice on their own, as I did. I chose, when I became aware, I chose to follow Yahweh. And it was a gradual process. I didn't just instantly become, oh, I'm so righteous now. No. It's an ongoing cleanup process. And I've still got some baggage. You know, you're a pastor. Yeah, I'm a pastor, okay? Which means I've got people that I preach to. I have a congregation here in Kentucky. But does that put me on some pedestal? No. No, it just puts me under the grace and the loving kindness of Yahweh. And he has shown that by this recent episode that I had with my health. That he knows my willingness to serve, my willingness to make changes in my life to clean it up more and more and more to serve him. Whatever he wants, I will do. I have no reservations about the world anymore. There's nothing in the world that is admirable that I see that I really want. So I'm getting down to the point here. of the end of the show, and I will leave you with this thought. You have to choose who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve Yahweh, or are you going to serve the world? That's the basic premise of all of it. So, what can I really say except make a good choice, folks, because I care about you. I really do. Oh, my. It's one of those things. Praise Yahweh, Lord of hosts, Holy One of Israel. And I'll talk with you again on Wednesday, which will be the next new Word for Word show. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.